Well, how y'all doing out there? All right. President Knapp, platform guests, graduates, colleagues, family, and friends. As we begin, I'd like to invite everyone here today to participate with me in a slice of my cultural heritage. In my ancestral tradition, call and response is a form of spontaneous verbal and nonverbal interaction between speaker and listener, in which all of the statements or calls are punctuated by expressions or responses from the listener. So we don't have an official amen corner here today. At least I don't think we do. But an unofficial one will suit me just fine. So if you have an amen or a you know that's right, that is all good with me. All right. See, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Okay. Class of 2014. Dude, is it me or have we been here before? Now, I've heard talk of a phenomenon called deja vu, but I'm sure I would remember if we had once shared such a time as this. If we had been assembled together like this before, I might have said something about attitude, such as attitude being a little thing that makes a big difference. I may have spoken of someone having a tude or catching a tude or copying a tude. And I would likely have proposed that our tude ought to be a multitude, embodying elements of multidisciplinary study, multicontextual focus, multidirectional pedagogy, and multicultural encounter. If I were to have said such things, I hope you took note and took it to heart. Because if you did, I am certain I would have said that you would not be quite the same when we met again in 4 years to see you walk across the graduation stage. And here you are today. Congratulations. You have made it. And you are different. A little bit older, a whole lot wiser, and now and forever woven into the legacy of hope. Funny enough, even I didn't remember that when we met 4 years ago, I'd said that I was there to encourage us to be intentional in thinking about our attitudinal approach, and that the most effective application of the multitude requires that we be thoughtful, intentional, and prayerful in discerning amongst the choices, and that you can achieve new heights in your life if you are intentional about your attitude. So my question for you today is, what are your intentions? Now, this is not a new question, but one that perhaps warrants greater exploration. When do we hear this question posed? Perhaps the most noted example is when a concerned father says to his daughter's date, "Nice to meet you, young man." "Now, what are your intentions with my daughter?" I think we got an amen. Now, as you've approached this milestone that we're celebrating here today, you may have been asked, what are your intentions in life? A potential employer in an interview may have asked, what are your intentions for this job? Or a graduate school committee may have asked, what are your intentions for your research? Have you had ready responses for these questions? What are your intentions? In reflecting on your time at Hope, what was your intention for being in college? Did it just seem like the right thing to do? Was it to get a degree so that you could get a job? Or were you in college so that you could have the greatest and most effective growth track of your life? To have an experience that would equip you for challenges, opportunities, and all that the world has to offer. All too often in our lives, we just go through the motions. And going through the motions, there is no purpose, no conscious intent. When we have no purpose, no intentionality, we have no pep in our step. And it is easy to become mired in mediocrity. I ask you again, what are your intentions? It has been said that life does not obey our expectations. Life obeys our intentions. These 4 years seem to have flown by. Time is precious. We should invest ours intentionally. So what does it mean to be intentional? It means that we give active, conscious thought to every decision and undertaking. That we give prior consideration to our underlying motivations for the endeavors and choices we are planning to make. That we first inform ourselves and seek understanding before drawing inferences and conclusions and before finalizing the approach that will be the best fit for our enterprise. It means that we consider the impact that our actions might have on others, on our community, and on our environment, and weigh the risks, benefits, and probabilities for successful outcomes for all constituencies. Integrity, inference, investment, impact. These are the cornerstones of intentionality. Intention from the perspective of integrity asks whether our motivations are honest and fair. Doing things for the right reasons almost always turns into beneficial outcomes for others and for ourselves. When we know that we've been true to ourselves and maintained our integrity, we don't have to feel ripped off, discouraged, or disillusioned regardless of the outcome, because we know our intentions were grounded in integrity. Intention from the perspective of inference questions our understanding. We draw inferences and conclusions about people and situations every day based on our understanding of the world. We each see the world a little differently through lenses that have been honed by our developmental encounters and tinted by our cultural and social perspectives. That's not bad. It just is. Where we often fall short is in our failure to recognize it and to understand it. Camus said that the evil in the world is almost always coming of ignorance, and good intentions may do as much harm as malevolence if they lack understanding. At times, we have to understand that our understanding of things may need to change. It may be time for us to modify, adapt, and grow to a new level of understanding to better meet the needs of our ever-changing world. When we have fully and actively listened to others with open ears to the point that we have earned an understanding of their perceptions, reasons, and rationale, then our own understanding will expand anew, and our subsequent inferences and intentions will be formulated from an enriched, informed position. Intention from the perspective of investment inquires about our willingness to engage our resources of time, energy, and action in bringing our intentions to fruition. A well-intentioned beginning establishes a foundation and framework for success. However, in order to reap a bountiful harvest, intention must be accompanied by action. A seed left untended and uncultivated is less likely to bear healthy fruit than is the seed that is nurtured and tended carefully by the hands of the master gardener. Liberty Hyde Bailey said, "A garden requires patient labor and attention. Plants do not grow merely to satisfy ambitions or to fulfill good intentions. They thrive because someone expended effort on them. So too will our good intentions thrive if we so invest our efforts." Intention from the perspective of impact asks whether we have considered the likely outcomes of our actions and the effect it may have on others. Have you ever hurt a friend's feelings and said something to the effect of, oh, no, no, you're misunderstanding. That wasn't my intention. Or maybe you heard or said a statement more along the lines of, well, they need to get over it because that wasn't my intention. Well, what was your intention? Did you take the time to be truly intentional about what you were going to say to your friend or how you were going to say it? When we hurt someone with our words or deeds, the pain is very real, regardless of our intentions. I would like to believe that most of us do not intentionally set out to do one another harm. Therefore, I must accept that we harm each other because we have neglected to be intentional about considering each other's feelings. Our intentionality should lead us to uplift and build rather than to oppress and destroy. This can only happen when we contemplate the potential impact as we are formulating our intentions. It has been said that it is not enough to be well-intentioned. One must strive to put those intentions into action in a capable way. One must consider the effect his actions will have on others. Looked at like this, to persist in ignorance is itself dishonorable. Good intentions are the foundation of this premise, but many a foundation has been poured and abandoned. Integrity, inference and understanding, investment and impact are the bricks and mortar that bring a good intention to its ultimate manifestation. Without the bricks and mortar, we are left with just the good intentions. And I understand that there's a road somewhere that's paved with those. Being intentional works not only for the big things we want to accomplish in our lives, but also for the everyday so-called little things in our experience. Before you get out of bed, you can be intentional about having a fun or productive day. Before you leave the house, you can be intentional about spending quality time with your family or roommate. Before you enter your workplace, you can be intentional about learning something new or being helpful. So, being intentional for the big things or the little things, how do we do it? There are three factors that, when applied consistently, will lead us toward intentionality: vision, commitment, and action. Forming a clear picture or statement of our intention and naming our goal establishes purpose and elucidates meaning and motivation. At the outset, we ought to always know why it is that we wish to do a thing, as well as envisioning what we expect its impact will be. We must be committed to and hold ourselves accountable for every choice we make. We must honor our values and beliefs and maintain respect for persons. Accountability partners may provide additional support, but commitment must be internally driven. Intentionality requires our personal buy-in and pledge to pursue the end goal. Now, goal pursuit needs an action plan. In order to succeed, intentions must be supported with feasible, actionable steps for how to achieve the goal. And we must persevere. We have to follow through with our action plan. A high degree of stick-to-itiveness ensures a greater likelihood of fulfillment of our intentions. Vision, commitment, action. What would life be if we carried ourselves with intention? How would our world change if we took 15 seconds before every Facebook post, 3 minutes before every class, 5 minutes before every meeting, 10 minutes to start the day and just ask ourselves, what's my intention? To be intentional, we must begin from a place of authenticity. First, knowing who we are and knowing whose we are. We are members of the body of Christ, and as such are guided by God's word. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Amen.
The word of God is alive in us and discerns our intentions. It reveals to us the true moral character of our thoughts and intents. The word of God frequently reveals humankind to itself. In your lifetime, you will wear many different hats. You will be leaders, followers, parents, teachers, doctors, lawyers, artists, preachers, historians, physicists, engineers, investors, therapists, nurses, and perhaps professors. And for each of these, believe me, there will be a test. In this life, the number two pencil will only take you so far, but the three in one will take you all the way. 4 years ago, I said to you, wouldn't it be fabulous if on commencement day 2014, instead of saying, I wish I had, you'll be able to say, I'm glad I did. I hope that today, looking back over your years at Hope, you're able to say, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I embraced new experiences. I'm glad I studied abroad or in Philly, Chicago, D.C., or New York. I'm glad I grew in spiritual understanding. I'm glad I attended chapel and the gathering. I'm glad I participated in co-curricular activities. I'm glad I seized the opportunity to learn more about someone whose background and experience is really different from mine. I'm glad I took that extra class. Yeah. It could happen. I'm glad I made lifelong friendships that I will cherish forever, even though I'll no longer be seeing them around campus every day. After today, when looking back over the years yet to come, I hope you'll be able to say, I'm glad I was intentional about the choices I've made in my life. Parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, spouses, friends, and all those gathered here today in support of your student and their classmates, the Hope community owes you a tremendous debt of gratitude. Thank you for allowing us the honor of sharing this leg of their journey with them, walking alongside them, supporting them, encouraging them, laughing with them, crying with them, and at all times learning from and with them, even as they learn from and with us. This span of a few short years has been replete with both trials and triumphs. Though we seem to be fast approaching the bittersweet end of this path, just around the bend we will find that it is but a crossroads, and the many pathways toward the horizon branch forth from the tree that is anchored in the soil of hope, each fragrantly blossoming with promise and, dare I say it, hope for a future that is rich, resilient, and rewarding. I challenge you, class of 2014, to be salt and light in the world, to be the servant leaders you have been called to be and have been prepared to be. strive to meticulously cultivate intentionality in all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you teach, wherever you may follow, and wherever you lead. Let the word of God abide in you and be your guide. And when asked, what are your intentions? They will be beyond reproach. We believe in you. We always have, since the day you first set foot on this campus. And we will continue to believe in you even as the last whisper of wind whisks away the final traces of today's footprints and beyond. We know that you've got what it takes to take the world by storm. Graduating class of 2014, my hat is off to you.